it and unfold it and just be with it. And this is from Multitudes, which I don't have copies of, but I thought I'd read a bit from Banished, Abdihins, Ba, Nin, Sh, Ed, De, S, In, Am, B, D, Anish, Nish, Ish, Ban, Head, An, He, A, Head, A, Sh, D, Psh, Ish, Ban, Ba, D, She, He, B, E. I'm going to read this piece because it, I think, moves against or within, alongside a lot of the grieving energy that Shannon shared. It's called Replenish, and it's a solo. Fan and a bottle of water kept replenished from the tap. Quiet room that you keep replenishing with your greed for it. Books replenished by repeat reading and rereadings that change their meaning limits. Love for the ones you love now, who can, it seems, only ever evade your replenishing want. Is it that you had it and lost it, or cannot believe in ever having unless it is right here in your palms between your breasts and thighs? Is it that you don't know how to love and break it all to crumbs over and over again? Shades pulled so light jiggles under the last possible half foot of window space. Piles of books and cubby shelves and air flaps taunting, reread my meaning limit. Bright tongue of sun on every tree leaf, waggling about solitude being for the weak-minded. You want to replenish your heat, hearing heart. Want to love the one and the other with similar constancy, but suck at this. Pink hydrangeas simply flopped over with all the waters they can't help but gorge on again and again, as if blind to all the drought-stricken weeds at their ankles. Your mother with language. Your father with blood also. A hard beige desktop to which you have added a few sepia mug prints. The flickering of cunt lust in you when reading, writing, watching all the small shining tongues in the courtyard. This is a day that gets replaced by all the ones to come. Clean slates, clean dates. Nobody gets brought back like Alcestis. It's just a dream or thought contour to help the living go on with their steps toward a black banishment. This, written the last day you were 49, rather grim. 2 months of the tragedians played off against numerous bus trips to aphasia. You'll replenish your autobiography as you see fit, then sleep late to dream a last little wild one. To dream, redream a little wild tongue. As if being chronicled matters to the tree. Or does it? And I'll also read a piece that's about a choir. Blue light. Maybe I should call this gray light. It's not really a blue sky kind of day, but blue light surrounds us anyway. Nerd devices. In the afternoon of a day, in the afternoon of a day of institched thinking, in the afternoon of a day of institched thinking for the corollary, in the afternoon of a day of institched thinking for the corollary of voice, the afternoon of a day's breath of in-stitched thinking to the corollary of voice in photographs, in the afternoon of an aftermath, in the afternoon of a choir swaying toward a gratuitous affection, in the corollary of all they hour quiet, in the space of they hour in-stitched voices, all the unsane, may thought be luminous. So this is the point where I'd like to just invite you to vocalize a little bit, and if we can have this half of the room just play a little bit with the word meaning. Try it with me. Meaning. Just let yourself say it. Meaning. Meaning. And then just roll around that. So let's do it together, and then I'll go, and then we can start it here and go back and forth, and then we'll go together again. There's a thread you sense, language inside your head. Feel it coil, feel it become voice, speech. It's a phenomenon of color, of chord, of tension. Thought threads. Thought threads its way. I read from the section that involves travel. I'm the daughter of four immigrants who all arrived in Ontario, Northern Ontario, pretty much between 1905 and 1915. Both my grandmothers came in 1915, one from Greece and one from England. And stroke, lost most of her language, and it changed my relationship to wanting a through line with these women that had always been part of my family lore, but who I didn't really feel that connected to. So one of the things I did, was part of the process, but one of the things I did was I went to their villages where they had come from. And I'm going to just read some sections from that journey. Some of it is directed to my daughter, who was 15 at the time of writing, and she's the same age as both my grandmothers had been when they came to Canada. So you see yourself in several mirrors. So you see yourself. You see your body and your face. You face your body and see your face. You see yourself in mirrors, in washrooms, in airports. You have a look that seems squirrely. You look at yourself and appreciate how bad the lighting is. You look at your eyes, at your cheeks. You see a wide silver realm of mirror all around your little head. Do you exist? How old are you? How many years have you been here? Is this the first time you've ever? There was the first mirror in Pearson. There was a little mirror in the airplane washroom above the sink where I lingered for quite a while to stretch my legs and clear my nose of phlegm. This is a private act. I can see myself in the mirror committing such a private act, and I like knowing that I am not seen. But comes the thought quickly that a camera might be monitored.